Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Pure Hoops podcast is a presentation of Pure Hoops Media. The Pure Hoops podcast most definitely does reflect the views of our management. Here's three-time NBA champ BJ Armstrong and Eric Newman.
The Pure Hoops Podcast, another week, another show. Eric Newman, BJ Armstrong, my man, how are you this week?
Well, Eric, I'm doing great. It's All-Star Weekend is upon us, coming up very quickly.
Really sneaking up, right?
Yeah, really, it's really sneaking
really
up.
Really been stealth, and now it's 1 month away.
And the games are, you know, they're meaningful games. I mean, now we're starting to see how the seedings are shaping up. Trade deadline is coming up. So there's a lot of activity, a lot of things for us to touch upon this week.
As always, never a shortage of on-court and off-court. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because people accuse me of still holding a grudge. People accuse me of sometimes devoting my energy to the wrong things. But Kyrie Irving telling the press, essentially, some of his current teammates aren't good enough and they're going to need to add more pieces with KD's return, to me was just, I was watching the clip and then I watched it again when you just have that look of disbelief and your jaw drops to the floor. I don't understand how you could, and I don't think he, like, this was premeditated, but for those of you who saw the clip, heard the quote, et cetera, this has the chance to just completely fracture that locker room for the rest of the year because he's naming guys that will be building blocks, and then he's leaving out guys like Joe Harris and Torian Prince and Jared Allen, amongst others, who have been busting their ass to try to keep the Nets afloat. So before we get on to our rundown for the day, if you're the Nets organization and we know what the Kyrie leadership issues were in Boston last year, what kind of a conversation do you need to have with this guy to just basically say, don't answer shit like that?
Well, Kyrie is, you know, a very interesting player in this regard. Because of his exceptional talent, we automatically place him in the position of leadership. And here's another example of when you're leading a group and when you are looked upon in situations where clearly Kyrie and Kevin Durant have raised the expectations of what is possible there in Brooklyn. Now you have to look at the big picture, and I'm not sure what the effects will be of this, but certainly if you're in that locker room, it's a little uncomfortable in the locker room with that quote. And, you know, I don't know how you repair that, because once you lose your group, whether you're the head coach, the leader of the team as a player or what have you, once you lose the trust of the group, it's very hard to regain that. So it'll be interesting to see how this team performs for the rest of the season after this remark, because that was a pretty, you know, that was a tough assessment. And, you know, this team has only been together, what, for 40 or so games. You know, Kyrie's been out for a large part of the season due to injury. And then
guy missed 26 games. Sorry to cut you off. He missed 26 games. They've played 40. They're 18-22. They sit in the eighth seed today, Thursday, as we record this. They're not in the place they thought they'd be, but they're in a spot where they can compete for the rest of the season if he's healthy. I'm baffled. The definition of leadership, as you know and you've lived this, is to raise the level of the guys around you. This is the complete opposite of that. It's just, it's unfathomable to me. But it doesn't surprise us with who this guy has been and the mystery around him. So for all you Brooklyn Nets fans out there, good luck. That's all I can say is good luck. But, you know, a guy like Joe Harris that has busted his ass to become a very good NBA role player who can shoot the – I mean, he's one of the best three-point shooters we've had in the league in the last several years. He's a valuable piece to that team. And maybe this doesn't bother him, but maybe it does. And we'll see what happens. So I want to shift to a talent and a player who also has had a lot of controversy around him since he was drafted into the league in a part of a controversial trade on draft night 2017. But I want to get there in this fashion. You know, with the schedule makers now, you've got these interesting back-to-backs going on. They're limiting, you know, 4 games and 5 nights. But teams now, because of the schedule, when they play the LA back-to-back, they're playing against arguably the two best teams in basketball, the Lakers and the Clippers. And it is really something when you've got to look at your schedule and say, wow, we've got two in a row at Staples against these guys. So of the 5 teams this season to do this, only Toronto has managed to win one of those games until the Orlando Magic ended the Lakers' 9-game winning streak on Wednesday night. And as we taped this on Thursday, the Magic faced the Clippers. So, I mean, cherry on top to even compete with the Clippers after beating the Lakers. But I want to get to it. Markelle Fultz leads the way with a triple-double at Staples Center on Wednesday. What did you see from him? And he's had some 2 games on, 1 game off, 1 game on, 1 game off. But he's starting to string together some games now. Is this the turning point for Markelle Fultz, who many thought would not be able to stick in the league after what happened in Philly?
Well, without question, this is probably his most complete effort from start to finish in his young NBA career. And we all saw the talent and potential of what he could do. And then it's great to see him, especially watching him over the last couple of years, to get to this point and to put together a game where you can say, that's why they drafted this kid, number one, in 2017. He was exceptional last night. He played very well, and he made big-time plays, especially down the stretch, versus a team, the Lakers, who are arguably the best team in the NBA, certainly one of the better teams. And it's good to see a young player perform and meet the challenge. Now,
granted, BJ, Anthony Davis was not playing, so right. He was not there to deter him from driving to the paint. But the Lakers have formed a defensive identity. They have been, if not the best team in the NBA this season, in the top 2-3 conversation. But to see Fultz do that on the road in LA against that opponent with that confidence, I'm really excited for him, and I'm excited for Orlando, because now you start to look at the future of that team. And yes, Jonathan Isaac went out, and hopefully he will be okay in the long run. But Jonathan Isaac has stud written all over him. And Markelle Fultz, if he can be 75 to 80% of what we thought he was going to be when he was touted and hyped, the Orlando Magic are now putting together some interesting building blocks. But if you're Philly, do you – I mean, obviously this is a business where you make moves and you live with the results. Did the Sixers make a huge mistake in how they handled Fultz or what they eventually did with Fultz is my big question.
Well, if you're Philadelphia, you don't look back. And – you know, I've said this many a times, Eric. We are in the business of winning. That's the business we're in. And what we're talking about, Markelle Fultz, he needs to develop. He needs to continue to develop And maybe 2, 3, 4 years from now, you know, we can all say coulda, woulda, shoulda. But at that moment in time, he was not ready to perform at that level. And a lot of times in your career, Eric, you want to get to the point where you get a group of guys who are in their prime, who are ready to win and win now. I think we can all agree he's not ready to do that now. And Philadelphia is on a different timeline than he is as far as the development of his career. And it's no knock against what Philly did, and it's no knock against what Markel and where he's at in his career. It's just that the timing of it wasn't a match for either group. And I think the best thing for him is to go to a place like Orlando where he can develop, where he can play through his mistakes, where he can experiment, because that's what he needs. And that's what every player needs. You know, the formula to be a player in this league is universal, right? You need minutes and you need shots, where there are a lot of minutes and there are a lot of shots in Orlando mm-hmm. right now. And that's what he needs. So I'm happy for him. I think Philadelphia has moved on. They're competing with the group that they have. They feel they have an opportunity to win. And I think it works for everyone involved.
So from the top pick in 2017 to the top pick in 2019, we have a date for the return of Zion Williamson, January 22nd against the Spurs. Let's push all the hype aside. What is realistic to expect from Zion as he gets back into a rhythm here in the 2020 regular season?
Well, you know, there's a lot of hype surrounding every number one pick, and, you know, that's always great marketing and anticipation for the NBA and its fans and people who follow the NBA closely. And I'm just as intrigued as everyone else to see this young man because of his unique size and his style of play and what he can do on the court against NBA players. Now, in saying that, I'm also very hesitant because there's no way to get around the conditioning that's necessary to play in the NBA. And it takes time to build up the necessary strength and, you know, conditioning that's necessary. And he's missed not only training camp, but he's missed the entire season thus far. Mm-hmm. So I'm very hesitant to throw him in an NBA game because he's had 3 weeks of, you know, whatever, non-contact or contact practices. And that's not the same as the conditioning necessary to prepare for an NBA game. So, you know, I'm going to watch with my fingers crossed and to hope that this young man is able to get through this because of his age. But certainly in my experience as an ex-player and my experience working in this league and continuing to work in this league, there's no way to get around the conditioning necessary to play in an NBA game without putting in the work. And that work comes practicing, playing, and doing all of those things before you actually enter into a game. So I'm a little skeptical because of, you know, I've seen so many players, and I admire the fact that he wants to come back. I admire the fact that he's healthy to play in the game. He's worked himself into condition. But again, when you're playing in the NBA game, that's a little different than playing in 505 during the season and you're practicing. And I think experience, and I think over time, you know, for all of us who've had an opportunity to experience that, you know that there's no way to get ready to play other than to put in the work. And it's just not enough time for him to do it. But so be it. He's going to play, I think, on the 22nd, and we'll see how it turns out.
So with that, BJ, it's been a breakout season for Brandon Ingram. He's clearly the scoring offensive focal point of this team. What does he need to adjust, if anything, with Zion back in the lineup? Just real quick, does he just need to continue to play his game and Zion needs to fit in, or does there need to be give and take on both sides?
Well, you know, we must remember or not forget that we don't know what Zion is as an NBA player. I don't know. Where does he play? Does he play the 4? Does he play the 5? Is he 3? I'm not sure. Yep. What he is. So I think initially, I think we need to just allow Zion to figure out who and what he's going to be. Most coaches always try to find out what a player is going to be on the defensive end before they figure out what they're going to be on the offensive end. So I don't know what position he's most comfortable defending. I would venture to say he's probably more comfortable playing closer to the basket now than he will be probably 2, 3, 4 years from today.
For sure.
So with that, you know, I think Brandon is going to have to continue to carry the load, because we can't expect Zion at this point to be able to carry a load in the NBA, let alone from where he's starting from at this point.
BJ, they shouldn't want him to. Brandon Ingram has really taken a big leap forward. Zion knows how to get his in the flow of the game, which we've seen before, both at the college level and in the limited preseason summer league action. So I think it's going to be fun to watch. Derek Favors, unfortunately for the Pelicans, is out of the lineup again. It's given minutes to another promising rookie they have, Jackson Hayes, in the front court. We've seen a resurgence of Jahlil Okafor. So I think this is a good opportunity to just ease him in and just get him in a rhythm and get him comfortable. And this is a team that's playing this with a long lens, a wide window. There's no rush here. So, you know, we thought they'd be competing for a playoff spot. It's going to take a little bit longer. A team that is competing for a playoff spot, which we both picked their rookie point guard, Ja Morant, to win Rookie of the Year. So he's making us look very good right now. But in no way did we expect the Grizzlies to be challenging in the Western Conference playoff race. And they are this fun, up-tempo style team. Brandon Clark, who they drafted this past year in the front court, has stepped in and given them a little bit more than I think they were expecting. But it starts with Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. What are you seeing from this exciting young combo, backcourt, frontcourt?
Well, Ja Morant is a very exciting player. He's a very dynamic player, and he's a game changer in this sense. There isn't an area on the court he can't get to. He has exceptional speed and quickness, and he has shown that he's fearless on both ends of the court. And that, to me, is the most exciting thing about watching him play and watching him perform this far, is that he takes on the challenge on the defensive end every night in a league where you have, you know, this is a guard league now. And he's thrown himself right into the fire. He's learning on the job. And more importantly, he's going at people and taking that on every single night. You know, this is a guard league now, Eric. It reminds me more of the collegiate game of yesteryear than the pro game that we're watching in the 80s and the 90s. This league now is a guard dominated league, right? And Ja Morant physically fits into that category. The young man is a terrific decision maker in transition, and we all know that he can finish over the top of you if necessary. So he has all of the physical skills that you want, that you look for in a lead guard, and he's elevated himself because he's playing at such a high level, right? Which is very difficult to do for young guards, because not only is he scoring, he can organize. He can, you know, initiate off the offense. And when you have a young guard that understands that, then you're looking at something special. So I'm going to continue to follow this young man with great interest. He definitely has my attention. And I think now he's catching the attention of not just fans like myself, but he's catching the attention of the players now, because he's letting them know, I'm here to compete. And he takes on that challenge on the defensive end, which is very impressive for a young kid.
18 points, almost 7 assists, 3.5 rebounds per game. But here's what is beyond impressive. As a rookie, 49% from the floor, 40 from three, 80 at the free throw line. He has a couple of more really hot games. I mean, he could be a 50-40 I mean, he won't get to 90 shooting free throws, but imagine 50, 40, 80 plus in his first year for field goal percentage, 3-point percentage, and free throw percentage. I mean, that's beyond impressive. And, you know, he's playing about 30 minutes a night, and how easy he's making it for Jaren Jackson Jr. to take his next step forward, because he's got this guy now that takes the pressure off of him from having to be this number one. Jaren Jackson is very talented, but he's not ready to be a number one offensive player yet. He's a great two-way front court talent who can score in the paint. He can shoot it from the outside. He's athletic, but he needs someone to get him the ball in his spots, and that's who Ja Morant is. So what's really interesting here is Andre Iguodala hasn't suited up for the Grizzlies this season. He's been awaiting a trade to a quote-unquote contender. If you're the Grizzlies right now, do you want to say to him, hey, if you get on the floor, you can help us get into the postseason and mentor these guys? Or is there a market out there that makes sense for the Grizzlies to ship him to a more established contender at this point?
Well, I think with Andre, look, he's proven he's a big time player in big moments. Defensively, he is the size and athleticism that every general manager, especially a contending team, is looking for. And he plays the game in a way where he doesn't need a lot of touches. He just plays the game in the flow of the game because of, you know, his style and what he brings to the court.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a huge market for him, especially if a team feels that a player with his capabilities can push them over the top, and it will be interesting. I expect them to get a lot of calls and field a lot of calls talking about the Memphis Grizzlies, and we'll see where it goes. But, you know, whether it's the Lakers or the Clippers or, you know, other teams that feel they have an opportunity, certainly Andre Iguodala would be a name that I would definitely reach out and see what is necessary, or if there's a possibility to get a player like that.
So, BJ, two quick things to close. The quote here from J.J. Redick, his concern that some players in today's game don't have their priorities in order. Quote, I really believe this. There are more guys concerned with getting a pregame fit on Instagram than they are worrying about the win or a loss of a basketball game. What do you make of this quote from Redick? Does it surprise you, or is it just a product of the fact that we have so many young guys in this league who have not yet fully matured and evolved?
Well, I think it's the product of where we're at as a society right now. And we've come to a point now where, you know, you'll hear quotes like, you know, let's do it for the gram. This is where we're at. So I'm not going to fight it. It is what it is. This is where we're at, and we have to deal with it. In saying that, you know, we also have to find a way to focus and understand why we do what we do, and we have to have the focus necessary to continue to perform at our jobs and, you know, young people in school and what have you. And but I think this is where we're at, and I don't think it's going away, and we have to continue to find a way to figure out how to work around these distractions that we have. And this is certainly one, and now it's entered into the NBA, where I think some of the older players are seeing a difference from when they came into the league to where it's at now.
Absolutely. Let's end on a very positive note. Though things, big picture in this country, still need a lot of work in fixing. Monday, Martin Luther King Day, January 20th, a very special day honoring the memory and legacy of Dr. King. And the NBA has done an unbelievable job of spotlighting this with community service and messaging, and also an incredible slate of games. 14 games now on Martin Luther King Monday, highlighted by a couple of gems. Lakers Celtics play on Martin Luther King Day Monday, which is absolutely fantastic, not just for me personally, but for the league and the attention that game can get. And hopefully a new chapter in that rivalry can be written soon. Another game that I'm looking forward to watching that day is actually the Pelicans and the Grizzlies, that game being played in Memphis. Very special. What does Martin Luther King Day mean to you, both personally and through the basketball lens?
Well, you know, I think the universal thought of dedicating your life to truth is a theme that has always resonated with me since I was a youth, of dedicating your life to the truth, regardless of color or religion or the differences that we may have. You know, that's a huge commitment. And, you know, and the organizational skills that were required to be able to organize a movement, you know, here in this country against all odds and against, you know, a system that really, for better or for worse, that, you know, that needed to be changed. And the fact that, you know, Martin Luther King and him as the forefront, but there were all people, you know, there were a lot of people that were involved in this process. And as we continue to strive, it's certainly not that the system isn't perfect, and it's continuing to, you know, figure out what it needs to do. When I talk about the system and racism and all of the things that exist in this country and all around the world, but Martin Luther King is always as a beacon of light. He's always stood there at the forefront of saying, you know what, you have to find a way, and you continue to move forward. And certainly, you know, he's been very inspirational, not only to me, but many people throughout the world, for the work and how one person dedicated his life to the truth and to his truth. And certainly many of us are continuing to carry that dream and that hope of what the world could look like as we all move forward.
For sure. A special day, a special legacy, and with the state of things in this country. And what I love about how we do our show is we mention things that I think are obvious to us. Our listeners may have very different or similar political beliefs, society beliefs, whatever they may be. Everyone's entitled to that. But the message and legacy of Dr. King can only help us as a country and a society as we move forward. So I'm looking forward to celebrating that on Monday and digging in for some great basketball and throwing some text messages your way and going back and forth. And hopefully the Celtics and the Lakers can give us a gem on Monday night. So great getting back on with you today, my friend. We'll be back next week on the Pure Hoops podcast. Special thanks, as always, to producer Mike Lieber, the one and only Bruce Bernstein, editor Benjamin Wolfen. Be sure to check out the Mike Wise Show, dropping each and every Monday. Mike always has a stellar guest on, so check him out there. Catch and Shoot 2.0, Otto Strong, doing his thing now down based in Dallas. And his co-hosts, Aaron Berlin, Buckets, Boards, and Blocks with the one and only Monica McNutt. And, of course, BJ Armstrong and I back with the Pure Hoops podcast. Have a great weekend, everybody. Enjoy the MLK games. Enjoy the NFL playoffs. And as always, stay pure. Peace.
The Pure Hoops podcast is a presentation of Pure Hoops Media.